The current spoiler warning level is crimson.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of crimson. We're talking about a machine from Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn, some related machines, also including some discussion of Mobile Suit Gundam narrative. So obviously, if you're a GGP listener, that's pretty far in the future. And I'm afraid I can't even say that there's nothing spoilery besides mechanical. Some of the stuff we talk about does have implications for the climax of Gundam Unicorn. So if you are averse to the spoilers, I would recommend skipping this one. But if you're here for it, I think it's a good episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Mechanista NG, the show where we talk about Luna Titanium. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Dylan.
Dylan, let's roll some dice, shall we?
Yeah. No future century on this list, baby.
Are we doing a spoiler episode? Is that what this is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's our second one. Right. We better fucking do one. We're expected to.
I mean, we could just do another regular one, but... Instead, we're going to be talking about late UC.
Oh, but late UC in the spoiler. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. That'll be exciting. Let's see what we get.
Well, in fact, I've got to modify it because I've got one on here that we already covered, I think.
I was going to say, is it the Inksha?
Yeah. I'll null that out and add another to parents. Don't mind me, folks.
All right.
Just correcting some numbers.
I need to just spend like after this call or something, or like I'm gonna put an alarm on my phone and just say, Dylan, redo the charts.
Okay. Oh, this is gonna be fun.
Okay. What do we get?
MSN 06S Sinanju.
Okay. Yeah, this is gonna be fun, because I like this suit, and I don't think that's actually controversial in reality. I know this is a popular suit. Me acting like just because I know some people that don't like it doesn't mean that not everyone fucking loves this thing.
Listen, y'all are allowed to be stupid about one of the coolest mobile suits ever made. I'll allow it.
I will say, I do think I like the Sazabi a bit more, but the problem is I like the Sazabi a lot. So,
I like the Sinanju like better than the Sazabi, but... You know.
That's fair. So, the MSN 06S Sinanju. This is a mobile suit used by Full Frontal in Gundam Unicorn. This mobile suit was originally developed as the Sinanju Stein, which we will be talking about shortly, but was stolen by Full Frontal and converted into a more Zeon-like machine. Which is really funny when you look at the design of the Stein, because its design elements are all over the fucking place because they needed to backport this thing as a Federation suit, which is very funny to me. Anyway, so, starting with the Sinanju's design, you've got a very mean-looking mono-eye-style head, almost Gundam-like, because it does have, like, the side Vulcans, it has a separate face, it has the cheek armor. I love this head, by the way. My only thing is, I would want the faceplate to be a different color, because I love the idea, I like mobile suit and, like, robot heads in general, that are like, oh, the faceplate is, like, distinct from the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wish that was a different color, but whatever.
Well, and the thing is, like, looking at this, I mean, it's really interesting to me because the head especially looks like it is, like, a hybrid of, like, Sazabi and, like, Compfer.
Yeah. It does even have, like, a chin guard, though, Gundam style, too, because it does have, like, a little gray chin, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the top of the head, and, yeah, you have all these, like, rounded armor parts, so I could see how you could see, like, the Compfer relation there. Like,
and, like, the way, like, the antenna is positioned.
Mm-hmm. It's got, like, almost like a Gundam forehead jewel, but with a commander antenna coming out of it. You've got a popped collar on the torso that has some gold trim, because this is
so good.
This is a sleeve suit, and so, yeah, it has a popped collar with gold trim all around, which is rad as hell. As you move down, you've got a very ornate chest area, like... You know, it's mostly black and gold. You've got, like, the sleeve symbol on the chest very prominently. On either side, this is something that I believe, like, the Sazabi has, too. You've got, like, these side bits of armor, and the under area has, like, you know, little, like, gray exposed machinery. as well as having a torso tube set up. Like, you've got, like, at the bottom of the torso and waist area, you've got some tubes going into the back. The shoulders are these incredibly large and spiky armored bits. Much like the Sazabi, you've got, like, a area that hangs down and guards the upper arm. Though, on this one, they have extra spikes, because, again, this is a very extra mobile suit. Going down the arm, you've got large forearms. The wrists, again, more ornate, you know, decoration. Just the giant sleeves. The wrists are able to pop open, which I think is cool, because that's where it keeps its beam sabers. Mm-hmm. Then moving on to the waist. Pretty cool waist section. Again, lots of thrusters on this machine. Basically, this is like, what if we made a high mobility Sazabi, in a way. Which, again, even more camper parallels there, too. Yeah. The side skirts are, like, large, these large red-pointed armors, again, with thrusters on them, and I love all the thrusters on the suit. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah,
because I like high-mobility suits, so, you have these, you have a really large rear skirt, also, that I really like the design of. As you move down the legs, again, the knees, ornamental sections all over, you've got some vents on either side of the legs. You've got a very, like, high-mobility Zaku-style, like, side leg thruster setup. Mm-hmm. Those are able to pop out and even, like, rotate slightly.
Also, don't forget that it has double knees.
It does have double knees, right. It has, so it has the ornament knee, and in front of that, it has some armored knee that is just pointing, like, you know, just pointy, and has, like, some type of hole in the knee. I assume a thruster, like, vernier or something.
I mean, you assume it's more like the type of, like you vent out a little bit of air, right? Like, the pressurized, not like a full-on vernier, but just, like, a little bit of...
Okay, I could see that, yeah. But, yeah, as you move down, it does have, like, a front, like, foot armor that is connected to the leg, that is, it's, you know, bolted onto the leg, so it's not, like, a Gundam's, really. And then you've got some pretty cool feet. They have a cool, like, color coding. They actually, like, look like something rather than just being like, oh, that's a Gundam foot.
Also fairly narrow for a mobile suit's foot. Yes. With the high heel, too.
Yep.
Not that high, but a little bit.
Not a super high heel, but it does have a high heel. And then the backpack, which is, like, my favorite part of this also, besides, like, really liking the shoulders and the thing is, I just like all the shapes on this. Anyway, the backpack is two thruster pods that are, you know, pointing backwards. These are able to pop open with the thrusters able to, like, scooch out a bit more. The central, like, little area that they're bolted to has some thrusters pointing backwards, as well as a propellant tank on either side of the body.
Part of what I like about this is that the propellant tanks are so intelligently positioned on this mobile suit. Like, a lot of times, it really feels like, and I think, I'm not saying this to knock the art, I think it's good, but a lot of the times you get the vibes for the propellant tanks that they were just like, and fuck it, just strap some propellant tanks on here, right? They feel like in the design process they were added late or whatever, whereas with the Sinanju, you very much get the idea that this was built with propellant tanks in mind in this position where they would not get in the way, they would not get hit.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Because the Sinanju, especially given its way of combat, does not want its back to be facing you like that anyway. Mm-hmm. Because this mobile suit is a very fast assault mobile suit. And its weapon loadout is pretty extensive, actually, for it being a high mobility suit. You've got, you know, the Vulcans in the head, which is a little interesting for a Zeon suit to have. But, as we mentioned, this is actually secretly not a Zeon suit. It was stolen. You have beam sabers stored in the forearms, which I think is pretty cool. Some depictions even have it able to activate the sabers in the forearms, which I think is cool as hell. Yeah. I love sabers that just activate out of the arms like that, personally. You've got a really long beam rifle. The beam rifle has a hardpoint on the bottom of it, which can actually attach a grenade launcher or even its actual ass bazooka onto it. It's got a really big shield. Like, maybe not quite as large as, like, the, it is a slimmed-down version of, like, the Sazabi shield, but it's still a pretty large shield on the whole. Like, it's got, you know, it's got that distinctive shape, it's very pointy, keeps its axes in it, because it does have a pair of beam axes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got two beam axes that, can actually, have, like, a sword projection as well. They also can be combined at the grip to form like a two-sided like Naginata type of setup, which is pretty cool. Or they can be activated well in the shield, just turning the shield into this weird giant beam cutter, which is probably like one of my favorite things about the shield, because I think it's just cool to weaponize it in that way. The grenade launcher can be mounted either, as mentioned, on the rifle or on the shield. It's the same one. And then it also has a bazooka, which I believe same thing. Yeah, it can be used both on the shield or on the rifle or just as its own bazooka. The weapons on this, so even though it seems to have an extensive amount of weapons, they are actually like pretty smart for what it does. They're all like very integrated onto the suit so that it's never like clunky about how it's mounted. Like, you know, you can activate things without even needing to have them like pop into the hand, right? You have the bazooka, which can be on the shield or even on the rifle if necessary. You have, you know, the beam axes, which seem, oh, well, wouldn't you just use the sabers? Well, one, the axes are bigger, and two, even if you're not using like the axes in handheld combat, you can just activate them on the shield.
One of the coolest moves the Sinanju ever does is it turns on, it has the axes mounted on the shield, so it has that twin bladed shield a thing. It turns them on, it spears a mobile suit, and then with its spear, it just lifts up the beam rifle and shoots it point blank.
Yep.
It is unbelievably sick.
Yeah, this thing is really cool with what it gets to do. And it's just, this thing is a monster. It's very fast. It has pretty decent, weaponry. The beam rifle gets to do an effect I really like, which it actually shows that it does a continuous beam, which I always like when a beam rifle does. Because, like, frequently, like, when it's attacking the Nahel Argama early on, when it's flying above it, you're seeing, like, the shots, and it just drags them, you know, through it. So even though it's not, like, a big beam rifle, right, this isn't, like, you know, something like huge, like it's not like something like the high mega cannon on the double Zeta. It's not like a big beam rifle, but it fires a consistent beam that just pierces through things. And I think that's pretty cool. And I like the effect of that.
Yeah.
And also should mention the shield is sharp enough that, and like reinforced enough that it also can just be used as a solid melee weapon, because we do see at one point, it just pierced the shield all the way through a Jigen's upper torso. I believe that's in episode 6, at the start when they're fighting the General Revel fleet. Which is probably one of the scenes where the Sinanju, every time it gets to appear, kind of gets to chump out everything. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, it fights on more even terms with the Unicorn. But whenever it's fighting, like, grunts, it just destroys them.
Well, and also when it's fighting, you know, like fleets, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, in that case, yeah, it's literally just the Sinanju and then the Rosen Zulu fighting against a battleship alone, against like literally a battleship in its full complement of mobile suits and backup. And it's just like, and it's like, you know, it's not just a ship, a giant ass ship, like a very large ship. Because, like, this thing deploys, like, you know, 30 mobile suits against them, and it just operates as a one-man army.
Yeah, the way they portray it kind of, like, it I feel like it plays into the mythologizing of Char, right?
Because yes, it definitely wants to play into that whole ace pilot narrative for Char.
Because, like, if you look at, like, Char in the original Gundam, he's a great pilot, but, like, there are times where he'd see the odds and be like, ooh, this is too much. But, like, the way Full Frontal is treated in Unicorn, if he shows up, you're just like, okay, well, everyone here is dead.
Yeah. You know, and they do a lot of gags with that too. Like, they mention, oh, it's moving 3 times faster than a Gira Zulu does, which is funny because a Gira Zulu is a late era mobile suit, so that means it's probably pretty fast actually.
Yeah.
So 3 times faster is a lot actually there. Like with a Zaku, it feels like a little bit more at home, but with like, you know, an advanced era, like late era machine, that feels a little bit more, huh? And yeah, the Sinanju though, it can keep up with the Unicorn pretty well, all things considered. I really like, so it even does, and also it does a lot of creative things, right? Like, you know, pop off the propellant tank and shoot it to explode it. You know, because I believe he does that when he's fighting against the Unicorn the first time. Where he pops off the propellant tank. It's almost like what Gato does with the beam saber, you know, where oh, you know, he's firing forward. Oh, there was a big explosion. I must have hit him. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. This also does have a psychoframe cockpit. Should mention that. It does also mention an intention automatic system. I don't know what that is. I don't think that's mentioned in the show.
It seems like that's another like type of like psychoframe-ish technology.
I was going to say, this just sounds like a psychomute in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Yeah, no, this is a suit built off that, yeah, that original mythology of Char. This is the red ace pilot that'll come and take down like an entire Federation squad. You know, that it's this whole thing is like made to play off of that. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure people call like Frontal, even before seeing him, the second coming of Char, just when they see this on the battlefield. It even has the same model number as Char's, you know, Zaku. It's instead of MS-06S, it's the MSN-06S.
And MSN, of course, is, you know, the 04 is the Sazabi, so it's...
Yeah, it's still in that like same line, but also it manages to have like a reference to that.
Yeah.
So, Sinanju's name, funnily enough, I do know this. So I didn't know it was a novel series, but I know about the movie adaptation. Sinanju is supposed to be like the ultimate martial art. It's just such a funny thing to name something after because it's from like some crappy paperback series. Yeah. Starring a guy named Remo Williams, the Destroyer.
That's
is the novel series. The movie is, sorry, yeah, Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. The adventure had only just begun. There was no future ones, though. It is even described as a pulp paperback series.
That's incredibly stupid, but good for them.
Yeah. It is just very funny to me that that's the pull for the name for the Sinanju.
Yeah.
Is being named after the, what is in that story, like the originator of all martial arts. And so it's like the perfect martial art. Again, very pulpy paperback novel. What a weird thing to pull from for a name of a mobile suit.
Mm-hmm. A thing we didn't mention with the weapon armaments is that the bazooka actually is collapsible.
That
lowers the muzzle velocity. But yeah, that's how it has to be collapsed to attach the beam rifle. You have the iconic shot of him just like with one hand tossing it up and slapping it into the beam rifle.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty fucking cool is the thing.
It really is.
The Sinanju though is, so you look at the design and it is definitely like, yeah, the Sinanju Stein, when we talk about it, is based on both, like, it's supposed to be based on both the new and the Sazabi, but it really does feel like it's mostly based on the Sazabi.
Yeah.
You look at, like, the layout of things on it, you know, instead of having two backbinders with funnels, you have two ones just that are thrusters. You have layered shoulder armor that has, like, an upper arm cover with thrusters on it. You've got wrists that are, you know, these large, like, areas where you can store beam sabers. You've got, you know, the beam axes, which are very similar to, like, the big axe-slash-sword setup of the Sazabi's, you know, large beam saber. You've got the side skirts with the thrusters. You've got, you know, large scoops with thrusters on either side of the legs. Like, it is very much just a slimmed-down, almost, like, modernized Sazabi. Like, it's not... It does have a lot of, like, armor elements that are kind of, like, Federation-ish. Like, it's a little bit more boxy and stuff. But it does very much feel like this is just, like, a weird evolution, like, spin-off of the Sazabi.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I do like about it, though. Which is why those two get compared so often as well. The very obvious reason to compare them. I should mention also on the back of the legs, just because I think this is a cool detail, as, like, these two spiked armors going down, but those can pop up, and there are thrusters in there as well. Thing is covered in thrusters, and
yeah,
it makes me happy.
Listen, if you want to make this thing three times faster, you got to give it the parts.
I have an appreciation for this design also because this was actually my second master grade that I had ever built. So I had actually, so someone had put on eBay both their Unicorn and Sinanju unbuilt for like a cheaper price than buying them separate. And this is when I'm new to Gunpla and Gundam as a whole. And I was just like, oh, these look really cool. So I should buy them. And I bought them. And I built the Master Grade unit first. And that is not a good build. and For months, I was like, I'm not gonna, you know, maybe I'm just bad at these models. Because the thing is, for a long time, this is how I was with video games too. I was very much the kind of person that's like, oh, the reason I'm not having fun with this, or the reason this turned out bad, is because I'm bad at it, not because it's bad. Now I know enough about models that, no, the Unicorn Master Grade's not that great. Especially not as a first Master Grade, especially not when you've not even built a high grade yet. But then, I think it was like 6 months later, I finally decided, I'm going to build the Sinanju. And I built it, and I was like, oh, this is such a cool, fun build. It is a sticker hell warning for everyone, because, famously, none of the models can get the trim good.
Yeah.
The real grade does do it, and the real grade does it at the expense of everything about that suit's stability. The suit has weight problems. Already on the Master Grade, it has weight problems. When you introduce plated plastic into all of these sensitive areas at the end of joints and stuff, combined with it being a real grade, so it's smaller, combined with, like, the loose, because it's still using the crappy frame at the time, it's not that great of a model. And it's just a hard thing to nail, the Sinanju is, with models, I think. Which is unfortunate, because it is a cool design, but, you know, when you add a bunch of black and gold to things... To be fair, I don't know if when they were making this for the novel, if Kotoki was considering they'd have to make a model of it, because these designs were for a novel that came out in, like, what, 2006 originally?
Yeah.
So he may not have even thought about it that far. He just thought, oh, they're described as having ornamental sleeves? Okay, well, time to make this one like this. And then it's like, oh, fuck, we have to do a model of this? Shit. Stickers.
We fucked up.
Even on the Master Grade. Whoops. But yeah. Otherwise, though, cool design, and I have that appreciation because it was, like, my second Master Grade, and it was, like, the first fun Master Grade I built. Just so many cool mechanics going on with it, and I love all the moving pieces, I love all the thrusters, it has so many, like, slidey mechanisms. It's just a cool mobile suit.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it a lot. I have a nostalgic appreciation for it. So, within the story, as mentioned, it is based on a stolen Federation design, so I think we should talk about that first.
I agree. We should talk about the MSN-06S Sinanju Stein.
Now, this design I still like, but there are some criticisms I have, not just of the design, but of some other things. So, I wish that they didn't name it 06S already, because my brain goes, oh, that should have been something that dork Full Frontal did.
Yeah, why would...
To make it more similar.
Why would Anaheim call it MSN? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like, this feels like this should be, like maybe, like, RMS or something like that. I mean, I think Anaheim did make some MSNs, but even then, they should have just... I think they should have gone with doing, like, you know, the Federation numbering with it. Ignoring the model number, though. So, looking at this design, it's really interesting seeing them basically look... Because, obviously... We knew that the Sinanju was stolen. That is mentioned in, I believe, both the novel, and it's mentioned explicitly in the anime, that it is a stolen unit. The Sinanju Stein, though, wasn't developed until way later, because it was, you know, prominently featured in the PS3 video game by From Software, which is a really good game. Wish it was longer, but it's a great game. So it was prominent in that, and it was prominent in that because of a thing called Episode Zero, which is a sort of, like, little prequel chapter that adds some story about, like, how the Sinanju was obtained by the Sleeps. That was, like, added to future things. Probably much like most of the supplemental chapters for Unicorn, I don't think it's very good, but it was cool in the game, and this unit is cool because it's neat seeing them go, okay, well, we did say this was based on a Federation suit. How do we take the Sinanju and do that? And
yeah.
I think they actually succeed pretty well at everything but the head.
Yeah.
The head still feels very awkward.
Yeah, the head has two eyes, but it just looks like the two eyes are just sort of like slipped into the Sinanju's head, you know?
Yeah. It's very weird. Which, to be fair, we do know the Sinanju's head does have the two eyes slipped into it, because let us not forget the scene where the Sinanju gets its, like, mono eye blown up and then another red eye just lights up from underneath.
True.
And it's like, oh. Now, I don't object to the design. I just wish they had made the head maybe... See, for me, it's not even just the eyes. I think they should have made maybe, like, the cheeks and, like, the top of the head a bit more Gundam-like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this still feels very Zeon-like with its, like, you know, design. Like, it's got, like, all the curves and stuff going on. And I think that maybe they could have just made that a little bit more simplified.
Imagine a Sinanju with a cop visor.
They also should have just given it a V-fin. The thing is, I actually don't hate the eyes entirely. Because some shots, they do look really cool as, like, these big red eyes staring out from, like, you know, this little face.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I think they should have given it a V-fin also, because this is based on the new Gundam.
Yeah.
They should have had a V-fin. The torso they did a pretty good job with, though. They gave it, like, the chest vents on either side. And you can actually see, like, the way that they sectioned out the torso, you can see how it gets turned into the Sinanju torso, but it still looks pretty significantly different. Like, it looks like its own thing. Like, it just looks like actual armor.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the big ornamental sleeve symbol and stuff. The shoulders have been made box here. They've removed a lot of the spikes. I think that that works, though. And, like, I like, you know, they made everything a lot boxier. That's, again, it's why I complain about it on the head, because they knew to do that everywhere else. Mm-hmm. They did it on the arms. They did it on the torso. You know, the waist armor and everything is a lot, you know, more square. This basically feels like them converting the Sazabi into a Federation suit, but they fucked up on the head.
The shield almost looks like a Seed shield.
The shield is interesting because I believe it's kind of the new shield. Is the thing. It's a much smaller shield, which is very funny because this is a large mobile suit, and it also uses the new Gundam heavy weapon system beam rifle.
Yeah.
The big chunky one. This one's an interesting one because this is still like a high mobility suit. But this one feels more, the Sinanju feels a little bit more like it's oriented towards mid to close range. Like, it can do long range with its rifle, but this one feels more built around, like, the long range-ness. Like, because it uses a beam rifle that is, like, a big beam rifle. This is not just, like, a little, like, thin sniper. This is something that's made to just plow a hole in a ship and blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
It has beam sabers in the forearms still, and they can still be activated when, you know, they're still in the arms. It still has the head Vulcans. I should mention on the back, it does have, like, the thruster pod set up, though it's much smaller. It's kind of interesting, actually, because the thrusters are all, like, kind of bunched close together on this one. Like, you can see the two, like, binders, like, the separate sides, but they're, like, a lot closer. And also it has much smaller propellant tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because it's not as focused on doing, like, the high mobility melee stuff. It's still fast, but you know that, like, you notice that, like, there's a lot of thrusters that are removed. Like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't have, like, some of the skirt ones and stuff like that, or, like, the ones on the arm.
And you imagine, given the way the binders are positioned on the main Sinanju, that basically they took those off, added bigger ones, and gave them a little more, like rotation.
Yeah, so they actually have, the Sinanju Stein kind of, like, focuses on being a little bit more well-balanced, while the Sinanju just leans all the way into the high mobility aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The shield on this does have a beam cannon, much like the news, as well as missiles, again, like the news. It's basically, they redesigned the new shield, mm-hmm. is what they did with this one. So the Sinanju Stein, though, I think this is an overall pretty neat idea for, like, doing the Sinanju early on. Again, other than the head, I think this is pretty good. I do like this design on the whole. I do feel a little weird about those back binders because it does feel a little pointless to even have those, like, top armor parts almost.
Mm.
Because it's not like, because they're not folded down over the armor and they don't really move that much. So it feels like you could have just done without those, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, minor critiques. I overall think this is actually a pretty solid backport of, like, you know, trying to make the Sinanju into a Anaheim developed Federation mobile suit based on the Sazabi.
I also like how on the sides of the legs, those rotating, like, booster units on the side look more like, mm-hmm. Alex or Mark II style.
Yeah, they're very much more like they don't have just, like, the, you know, usual circular thrusters. They just have these big squares,
mm-hmm.
Which look pretty cool. But yeah, so the Stein, though, I don't mind the color scheme. I know some people find it boring, but the problem is, people who know me and have followed me on Twitter and stuff would notice that I paint most of my stuff in monochrome and then maybe one single accent color.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with this. It could have done with one accent color, preferably orange if it was me. But, you know, I think it's overall fine. It's a bit more plain. It's not as exciting as the Sinanju, but I think it's a fine design. Alright, there's two paths before us. We can talk about the Sinanju Stein Unit 2,
mm-hmm.
I think we should. This is from narrative. There's not a lot to talk about with it, really, because...
So this is such a weird... Okay. I don't think this makes any fucking sense.
It doesn't.
Because what they did was they took the changes that the Sinanju made to the Sinanju Stein and backported them, for the most part, to the Sinanju Stein, except there's no reason they would do that.
So, here's the thing. Narrative being based on this weird chapter is already weird. The Sinanju Stein here, the Unit 2, is basically like, okay, apparently they stole two Sinanjus, not just one. So, they already had one revision, which was, okay, we added a chapter that talks about the actual act of stealing the Sinanju, and in it they steal one Sinanju. But wait, what if there was another Sinanju? And what if they kind of halfway turned it into the normal one, and then they kind of didn't? Like, it's funny, because if you look at the armed art of it on the wiki, it's probably the best one for comparison, because that art is by Kotoki. And honestly, like, okay, so primary changes from the original to the other unit is, if you look at the chest, they added a very simple, like, sleeves-like emblem to the top of the chest. They added sleeves to the wrist. They added a sleeve symbol to the shield.
Well, they also made it pointed like the it is like the full-on, like, normal Sinanju shield now.
Oh, right. Yes, they added the point to the end of it, but it's still, like, mostly like the other
That's
one.
True.
Like,
That's
in
true.
Design. I'm trying to look and see if they added any other details. They elongated the propellant tanks.
Yep.
That's it, really. Like, it otherwise is the same.
Well, it's armaments. They gave it the BMAX, yes, and stuff, you know.
Yeah, they did give it some of the regular... This is like a weird halfway Sinanju, right? It's like, it does a little bit of both, is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And narrative's not a great film. I'm gonna be straight up with that.
There is...
I don't like this thing.
There are, like, a couple of designs from narrative that I think are cool. One of them, I know I am alone on this podcast in that thought. The Sinanju Stein Unit 2, I do not like.
It's just... There's nothing there. Like, yeah, okay. You even have one of the mechanical archives, and you can see at the bottom what has been changed on the design right here.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you look at the bottom, yeah, it's literally just that chest piece. Like, for physical modifications of the body, it's the chest, the wrist, and the propellant tanks, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's just nothing. It's just such a nothing design, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I guess it uses a slightly different design of BMAX, too. Actually, I forgot about that. Which you can see on the second page. It's a little bit more... The handles are elongated, basically.
Great.
But that's about it. It's nothing suit piloted by someone I don't care about either.
Yeah, by one of the least interesting characters they've ever written. he's such a fucking Seed Destiny character. Like a Seed Destiny villain of the week.
You know what, though? I will give him this. He's actually still not the, like, least exciting character in that movie. Which is probably the most damning part of narrative.
Yeah.
Zoltan's kind of funny because he's so wacky, like, evil. Silly.
He sucks so bad.
Whereas... I don't even remember the main guy's name. Is it... What is it? Like...
It starts with a J.
Is it Jocasta New?
No, Jocasta New is a Star Wars character.
Right. Isn't it a name that sounds like a Star Wars character, though? I can't remember.
It definitely starts with a J. I'm positive of that. Is it like...
Jonah Basta, right. He does sound like a Star Wars character.
He does
Hold
sound
on.
Like a Star
You can't
Wars
get me
character.
Mixed up because Jonah Basta and Jocasta New, these names are in the same fucking series. I'm sorry.
It's... I have too many thoughts about Jocasta New, but the fact that his last name is Basta, which
Oh wait,
is
Jocasta New the she's the librarian, right?
Yes. The one who fights Darth Vader with a lightsaber gun.
I was gonna say, yeah, okay. Anyway, sorry, I got it mixed up. Either way, Jonah Basta. Sorry, that is also a Star Wars name. You can't make fun of me for making this mix up. Plus I think it was mentioned in It was mentioned in some Star Wars podcast I listened to that name was. So that's
it's in More Civilized Age, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, either way, like I said, it's the worst of both worlds with this Sinanju, right? It doesn't lean hard enough in either direction. It's just like, okay, you have the half step now, and I don't care. I just frankly don't care for the half step there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lightsaber gun. The EU. Anyway, all right. Now for the very, very, very large elephant in the room with talking about the Sinanju.
Yeah, I guess we should do this the same episode. You're right.
Yeah, of course. This isn't getting its own episode. We're going to talk about this. We have our good friend, the NZ999 Neo Zeon.
Yeah.
Well, okay. This is an anime invention. This was not in the original novels. Funnily enough, the reason that, because there are two Neo Zeons, because another one pops up in narrative, the reason there are two is because the chapters that narrative is trying to, like, make a story out of were chapters that originally existed to explain the differences in the anime of Gundam Unicorn. Like, where's the Neo Zeon in the book's continuity? Oh, well, it was off. It got destroyed during this operation, during the Phoenix hunting incident. Well, but then they adapted those chapters, so now there's just a second fucking Neo Zeon. Anyway, we're going to ignore that one because there's no reason to talk about it because it's not really any different. It's just in white. Anyway, the Neo Zeon. So, you can see that the Sinanju was writing this. Very evidently. You see that little friend in there?
Yeah, just look at that pal.
The upper body is basically designed like a large MS torso. Like, it has, like, the sectionals like that and, like, two giant shoulders connected to the torso there. Basically, this is a headless mobile suit is almost what this looks like. Headless and, like, footless. You go to the shoulders and you have these large, large binders, with, thrusters on them. You go down in the arms and you have the most boring version of beam fingers, because these are just beam cannons, like, in a five shape. They do some ridiculous stuff, but we'll get into that.
Well, I mean, and also, one of the differences they make with the second Neo Zeon is that they make them incoms.
Are they wired on that?
Yeah, okay. That version makes them wired, which is cool.
Fair enough. Why, look, I'm always into wired guns.
Yeah.
To be fair, the guns themselves are wired, but we'll have to talk. Well, again, we'll talk about that when we get to some of the wacky shit this thing does. Because this, I will say, the Neo Zeon does some stuff.
The Neo Zeon is the most, like, fucking, like, final boss of an anime movie. Fucking, it's like, oh, this is the end of Fullmetal Alchemist Conqueror of Shambhala, and just we're just popping off with dumb shit right now.
It's a lot. So on the shoulders you can actually see it has like four large beam cannons. It has two on the back as well. These can either fire fucking giganto beams or a bunch of scattering beams. Which kind of is the MO of this machine, is either giganto beams or lots of little beams. In the waist you have a giant megaparticle cannon just, like, you know, right there. You can see it built into the waist there. It has the skirt armor is just huge. It has these giant propellant tanks. You know what annoys me is when we saw, like, the little preview of this in episode 6, everyone had come up with ideas for what it could be because it was something that wasn't going to be, like, from the novels. So I remember everyone, like, having, like, these giant guesses about, oh, what's this cool mobile armor going to be? And it sucks because most people's, like, fan art guesses were better than what we got, and that's also why I'm so bitter.
I mean, you just don't like that its ultimate power is wishes and dreams.
So, its legs are propellant tanks. Its legs are two giant propellant tanks. This does have eye field generator on the waist as well. You have two in the front and two in the rear. However, these are not full body, which is actually one of the problems with these propellant tanks. Because one of the things that happens is when the beam magnums are fired into them, it eye fields around it, other than the fact that the bottom of the legs still get hit because the bubble doesn't extend all the way around. So, it blows up the propellant tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like a design flaw in my opinion. maybe you could fix this if you had swept the legs back, maybe like Alpha Zero style.
Or maybe you could just make them smaller.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
you know,
it's not like this is like, it's not like he's planning to fucking cruise the solar system in this damn thing. He doesn't go very far.
I'm glad it mentions in the equipment there is landing gear, though it can't land with the landing gear when the propellant tanks are in. So once you put those propellant tanks in, when it goes back to somewhere to land, you have to remove them because you can't land on those. You just, that's not how that's going to work. That's not going to go good.
No.
So anyway, then if you look at like the back, you know, not you look at the back and you see these four large boxes, and then you learn, oh, these are just giant arms, not even sub arms, just more arms. What if we had more arms? So yeah, you have eye field generators in the waist. You've got shoulder beams that are able to fire every which way. You've got finger beams that are able to fire every which way. You also have, I don't even remember seeing an explanation for these, the wired large funnel bits, which are the fingies. Because the fingies use three drill-tipped wires that latch and drill into a target and hijack a mobile suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this just happens.
I'm confused about this. This just feels weird to me.
This is why I'm saying this is some, like, end of an anime movie shit, where it's just, like, suddenly someone shows up that's, like, outsized and has powers that don't make sense with the way they've explained the universe so far.
Yeah, like drill bits running through a couple parts of the mobile suit feel like it shouldn't necessarily be able to rewire the whole suit. That just feels weird to me. Like, if it was able to, like, jack, like, a psychoframe-based suit, that would actually make a little bit more sense to me. Because it's like, okay, you have a psychoframe-based suit like the Unicorn or something, using the psychoframe throughout the body. What if we basically hijack that using our own new type pilot? That kind of would make a little bit more sense to me. But this is just dumb. It's just like, oh, look, I'm making you have to fire on some of your allies.
Hey, do you want to get really dumb?
Mm.
How do you feel about the Psycho Shard Generator?
All right, the other elephant in the room. So, the large shoulders can pop open, and there are rings that are released that... So, the explanation for this is actually dumber than my explanation for it.
Well let's hear because, yours. Let's hear yours.
Okay.
I'm curious.
So, the ring formed, right? And when the ring formed, it blew up all the weapons of the mobile suits. And the way that the weapons are shown blowing up is you see them like glow red at the ammo pack and it explodes. The way this is described is, well, okay, my thoughts were, oh, this is like some kind of thing that like excites megaparticles, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or like, you know, the excites the particles that are used in like beam weapons and stuff. And you know, you have that thing where like the Vulcans blow up on the heads of the Unicorn as well, but that kind of, the Vulcans on the Unicorn when it's in Unicorn mode have, I think either in the novel or something, more beams, so I was, like, ignoring that. I was just like, okay, that's fine. So it's like, okay, it excites, like, you know, whatever is containing the particles, and it explodes, and it makes it so people can't use, like, proper, like, ranged weapons within, like, a certain, like, area. And I'm presuming that the ring, like, does, like, there's an Eye of the Storm situation, which is why this isn't affecting the Neo Zeo.
But can I deliver the actual answer?
Yes, deliver the actual one, though.
The actual.
My answer, I think, is better than
the actual answer is that it's a massive psycho field that has the power to actualize the pilot's thoughts. It makes your dreams come true, Dylan. Make a wish.
Which made all the Unicorns and Banshees' weapons blow up.
Yep. All right, fair enough, Full Frontal. I mean, I would have wished for world peace, but yours is good, too.
It's very... I don't like the Psycho Shark. It just... It's one of those things that just feels weird. I don't actually hate Unicorn Episode 7, mind you. I just don't like this.
The Psycho Shark Generator is perhaps the dumbest piece of technology in all of UC.
Well, and it also plays into a thing I also hate the reliance on Psychomu technology in this weird way in Unicorn just to do things. Mm-hmm. Like, more psychoframes equals more whatever I always feel weird about.
Yeah.
And this is, like, just an example of that in a way that I just don't like. So, another thing this can do also, mind you, this can GPO3 and have the Sinanju just use its, like, weapons, because it does have bazookas and shit, like, stored in the, like, shoulder units and stuff. Mm-hmm. so it can, like, pop those out and fire those, or even use its beam sabers if necessary. At that point, you know, that you let the enemy get a little too close to you just to IMO, but, you know. Yeah, this machine's weird, and don't worry, you also have the second Neo Zeon, which is just this, but, like, with all the armor missing from the upper half, and that's basically it.
And then also,
like, the arms being...
You're mistaken. Yeah. It's added armor.
Oh, is that supposed to be added armor on mm-hmm. the... I know it's supposed to be called second Neo Zeon, but they put... The way that they do that is they do two, like, just the, like, II, or it looks like ill, yeah. But II Neo Zeon, so it looks like two Neo Zeon to me every time I see it, and it makes me mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's so added armor, and also it does have the wires in the arms. So it has wires that fire out the arms, and then the arms fire out extra wires.
Yeah, sure, why not? Stupid machine.
Yeah, it's incredibly dumb. I think there is a version of this, like, I don't think this is a bad concept of having this, like, having your, like, in your modernized Sazabi, well, or modernized Sazabi, like, get into a big mobile armor that is supposed to be reminiscent of the Zeon. That's a cool concept, and there are parts of the design that are okay, but they just flub it.
Yeah. Well, also, it doesn't help that we've had cool in-game mobile armors before that are non-humanoid, you know, we've had the Zeon, and then, because this is more of a mobile armor at this point, is my thing. And we've had things like the Neuzeel, sorry to butcher German there, but, you know, we've had, like, all these machines that are really cool, and then I just don't like this machine
no.
that much.
No.
And again, I don't actually hate, I'm not a person who hates Unicorn Episode 7, I just don't like this particular machine very much, though. Yeah, don't like thinking about it. The way it's destroyed is also kind of silly, because it just kind of ages and melts away
mm-hmm.
after a weird out-of-body experience between Full Frontal and Benazir. Well, I guess it can use the landing gear subarms. That was a thing I missed mentioning. But don't worry, so it has sub-arms in the form of landing gear, but then it also has four extra arms on the backpack, as long with its two arms on its, you know, front.
That sucks.
It's a lot. But yeah, it's...
Did you know that, Universal Century Phoenix Hunting, a Yagdoga pilots one of these?
Yes, because, okay, so Phoenix Hunting was that chapter I talked about. Original Phoenix Hunting also did not have a Sinanju, right? I believe, I don't know if it's actually Zoltan in that, but whoever, like, is the analog character to Zoltan in Phoenix Hunting uses the Neo Zeon, yeah, with the Yagdoga.
Good for him, I guess.
Yeah, but instead with the OVA, they decided, what if we just, there was just the second Sinanju? What if there was just another one? And what if there was a second Neo Zeon to go with the second Sinanju?
Great. Love it.
This is good, right? Okay. I'm trying to think. Is there any other... Oh, I guess we could talk about the weird green Sinanju, because it is on the Neo Zeon page. That is from a book, the Master Archive.
Mm-hmm.
The Master Archive is always really fun to me, because... the guy who, like, the groups, I guess, that make it, because there's a lot of, you know, there's one artist, but there's a lot of people who make it. They do a lot of, like, trying to, like, resolve the ideas while also sometimes implementing some of their own. So they do just do a Zaku-colored Sinanju and a Zaku-colored Neo Zeon in there, and I kind of love it.
It's good. I mean, you know, it's still the Neo Zeon, but the Sinanju with Zaku colors is cool.
Yeah, it's just kind of neat. It was just a minor thing in the Master Archive that I always thought was fun. That there's all kinds of little details in there that are fun. Okay, so we've run about 15 minutes. There is one other mobile suit related to the Sinanju that we can technically talk about.
If it's the RZ, we should hold off.
We should hold off. Okay, we can hold off.
Yeah, I think we have, I mean, there's a whole bunch of Zulus, and also we could talk about that in relation to the Hamahama, and, you know.
That's fair. Okay, so we'll save that. So, alright, that's the Sinanju, everyone. It's a cool mobile suit. I don't like the Neo Zeong.
No. Very much. But the Sinanju is my favorite UC design. I really like
it. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but that's really hard for me because I'm bad at making quantified lists. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I did that Twitter meme the other week that was like the have me list my top threes, because I realized, oh God, I'm bad at quantified lists that are like supposed to be in an order, because I don't know how anyone is ever settled in their feelings on anything, because my mood greatly determines how I feel about something, including robot designs, even, it turns out.
Well, okay, then I've got bad news for you, because I know how we're ending this episode.
Okay.
We're going to rank the mobile suits that Char Aznable has piloted.
Don't do this to me.
You're right. You know what? That's such a long list. That would be its own episode.
I was also going to say, are we including side materials? Because if we are, suddenly things are going to get a little wacky.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about the fucking Doa's custom.
Do you not want to talk about the... what is it? The DJ Char Aznable custom from MSV.
I actually kind of wanted to talk about the Doa's custom. This thing looks sick. But
I love that reaction there. Oh, I read the name. Oh, this is stupid. Oh, this mobile suit is actually kind of sick. Shit.
Wait, at what point did he pilot the GPO2? What are you talking about? What?
Probably some dumb manga somewhere exists for someone to that.
What the hell is a Zogo Juaoju? What the fuck is this? What?
Oh, is that from... Okay, hold on. That one is from a joke
manga. Yes, it is. Yeah. Jeez.
I was going to say, is that the one that's trying to make fun of all the Zeon amphibious
it's
designs?
It's hilarious. Yes, it's a pair of, like, very feminine legs and then a weird oblong body covered in tentacles.
I was going to say, it looks like an eggplant with a mouth or something.
So funny.
yeah, that one, that thing literally exists to take the piss out of amphibious Zeon mobile suits, so...
That's hilarious.
God. Alright. Anyway.
Well, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at LilPolyRobot. Sorry, my brain broke thinking about that mobile suit for a second. I'm sorry. I'm like recombobulating it. Yeah. LilPolyRobot@twitter.com. You can find me there. Follow me if you want. Don't if you don't. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. You can find my work at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. And folks, in times such as this, we're all struggling out there, but you mustn't let your mistakes weigh you down. Acknowledge them and take what you've learned to move on. Peace.
Sorry, demo.